I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Who do you think you are? Who do you think, and furthermore, why are you the way that you are? Why are you that way? Because, listen, I know that you have reasons, right? I've got reasons, and I'm sure you have reasons as well. But I am asking very specifically how many reasons you got, and how good are they? Really? Really? Because, listen, whatever you got right now, don't worry. I don't want you to worry about it. Whatever you have is fine, because that is a huge question. That is a gigantic question, and the right answers are very hard to come by down here. And that's because it is so tough to recognize the real truth that is mixed into the various layers of the nonstop chaos and confusion that we call life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm just saying, that is it, nonstop. In fact, finding the truth down here is a lot like reading Where's Waldo? Right, we've done that before. It is page after page of wall-to-wall mayhem where we just slowly sift through each scene to try and see past what is actually going on there so that we can find the real deal in a world that is just packed with similar stripes and hats and glasses. That's what we're doing. And don't you just wish so bad that there was a way to cut through all that chaos and just find the truth that we're all looking for without all of that effort and stress and frustration of having to slowly scan all of the places that Waldo isn't? I mean, just imagine how quickly you could collect each answer, right? If the book was called, There's Waldo. This is my Shark Tank idea. I think this is wonderful. You'll feel so good about yourself on every page. Right there, right there, right there. Right? There's Waldo. You'd have your answers as fast as you can flip a page. And as great as that sounds, I'm just so sorry. That's not how it works. For now, we got to work to find our Waldos. Just like we got to search to find life's answers. And I know some of us are thinking, well, good news. I'm a Christian. I'm in here. I already got the answers. Mm-mm. Don't you think that being a Christian lets you off the hook? Because the Bible itself says it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of who? Kings. That's right. And we're going to be kings and priests. Okay. So whether you are a secular scientist, a devout Taoist, or a committed Christian, every one of all of us was born into the exact same puzzling story, all right? All of us. And we are all fighting to find the same four truths that would make the mystery of life finally make sense. And you can get them with just these four. This is what we're looking for, guys, every single one of us. We're looking for our origin, meaning, morality, and destiny. That's it. That's it, because if we actually knew exactly where we came from, why we're here, what to do, and where we're going, there wouldn't be one question that we couldn't clear up. And whether we know it or not, we are always all working on those answers all the time. And whatever you have as of right now, in this moment, wherever the answers that you've put in those places, that is called your worldview. If you don't know that word, that is your worldview. And that collection of all of your best explanations is the most important part of your whole life. Because the current beliefs, what you have right now for each of those questions that is in your worldview, that make it up, those determine everything that you ever do, always, every single thing. And that means this unfortunate truth, crummy worldviews produce crummy behaviors. That's where they come from, and it's proven every day by teenagers. You can see it all the time. These teenagers who are experts at trying to live with a worldview of wishful thinking. Sound familiar? We've all been there. Some of us are still doing it. And personally, I remember it all too well. It's not as far back as I'd like in my history, but I was one of the worst offenders of all time. So as I overcame that wishful thinking, I wanted to take this morning and share the steps in my personal struggle that changed my mind so that hopefully I can give you the reasons why I think the view from here is the best there is for anybody who is looking to find those elusive answers. And today, we're going to kick it off. Simple subject. We're just going to talk about the origin of humanity. Today, I want to talk about how the Christian answer for our origin, where we came from, finally felt like a fit for me. Because logically, I knew it was something I was already looking for. Logically, I always knew that origin was going to be critically important to making sense of our story, right? Because they are so inherently connected. They have to make sense with each other. I mean, if you are like a 5'6", 27-year-old from Burlington, your true story cannot be about the tallest Brazilian basketball player in the 1970s. That is impossible, right? Illogical, which means it has to fit who you are, right? That's how it works. It has to fit who you are. So where do we look to find that fit, right? Where we came from, that part of our story. Well, like many people, I turned to science, right? Science, yay, science is great, because in this country, we kind of, that's what we're led to believe. In this country, we're mostly told that we already got the answer to our origin. It's already locked up and we can stop looking, and it goes something like this. Big Bang, a bunch of monkey business, and then ultimately Walmart. That's bing, bing, bing. You know, you can plot it out. That's all it is. And science took care of it, explained it all to us. It seemed that science had stepped up and finally offered what we were all looking for, right? Explained all those questions in our origin that we were dying to know. Science says what we're made of. Science says what keeps us alive. Science says what we know about nature. But outside of nature, science didn't say. Science didn't say, because that's beyond nature. That's beyond human experience of our senses. And we call that stuff that's kind of out there, we call that supernatural, right? Supernatural. And science isn't really concerned with that, because most secular worldviews only use what science says, because they think that nature is enough to explain absolutely everything. And it's kind of a reasonable idea, right? Because humans are part of nature. And so I was kind of, you know, I bought in on this. We're just part of nature. We're just animals living down here doing this thing. So it seems pretty reasonable to say that, yeah, I think science could probably take care of that and explain all that stuff. But, you know, either way, I said, well, proof is in the pudding. It doesn't matter. It doesn't need to be perfect. I don't need to have a perfect reason for my belief. I just need them to be reasonable, right? That's most of us. Just need them to be reasonable. And to test that, if they are reasonable, we do something real simple. We plug and play. We plug in an explanation for like where we came from, for instance, and then we watch how it plays out in real life to see if it fits, right? If it makes the story make sense. Because in a reasonable worldview, all of the beliefs are consistent and they're coherent, all right? They should make sense. They should fit with your story, and they have to fit with each other. It's consistent and coherent. It makes things make sense. If it's true, that is. That's how we can tell if it's true. And the science says worldviews largely say that they play well together without anything supernatural like God. They say that they've got it all taken care of. But as I really started personally to plug and play with some of these things, I began to see real world cracks in that consistency and coherency. And I'm going to pick on a couple of people here, starting off with Richard Dawkins, okay? Richard Dawkins, smart guy, right? He's kind of the king of the science says worldview. And a lot of people think the way that he uses science essentially proves that a supernatural God is foolish. He says, look, I did the math. There you go. You can stop giving to your church. You're welcome, right? And I kind of bought into some of that, because there's some really convincing arguments. But when I heard his reasoning out, when you press it a little bit more and you see how it tries to make sense of the story, I was let down. It didn't clear things up like I wanted it to do. And here's a couple reasons why. He says, we can ignore God because there is no convincing evidence right? There's no convincing evidence for God that he couldn't just explain away another way, like saying, hey, well, that's aliens or hallucinations. You can't trust it. So, sorry, that's not going to happen. He says, therefore, there's no such thing as evidence that can actually prove anything. And in fact, he admits, this is a direct quote, he says, I've always paid lip service to the view that a scientist should change his mind when the evidence is forthcoming. Sure, right? But I can't think of what that evidence would look like. You get that? That made me think, wait, hang on a second. How can you believe anything if you don't believe in evidence? And you know who agrees with me on that? Richard Dawkins. Okay, himself, because he himself is the one who said, quote, a delusion is something that people believe despite a total lack of evidence. All right, you following this genius? Okay, Dawkins says that based on his worldview, all evidence can't be trusted, which means he has to admit neither can his. Right? And furthermore, what that means, it means any argument against God in the same way is equally as unprovable. Because Christians too could always come up with their own explanations like divine intervention or miracles. So here's the upshot, right? At the very best, the science says worldview can only weaken the Christian worldview by the same amount that it cripples itself. And in that moment, I realized the reasons to deny God as our creative force, as our creator, they force science says to believe that we simply can't know truth. And that is an appalling conclusion. That means so much. And I find that very hard to swallow. And because what that means is it makes all worldviews just a coin flip based on whatever sounds best. And honestly, if you kind of look around and talk to some people, that's about as deep as a lot of us go. It's just choosing something based on how it sounds. And I, as a guy who was trying to put all this effort into finding what was really true, found that very depressing. So thank God for famous mathematician, physicist, and Christian Blaise Pascal. Love this guy. Because he points out, okay, let's suppose that's true. Even if it was a coin flip, the smart money is still on God. And here's why. It's one of my absolute favorite logical arguments, because math is math. You know, there's no feeling that goes along with this. He's saying, just take a look at the table here. This is how it goes. This is Pascal's wager. He says, well, what should you believe? Here's the probabilities. And if you notice, according to Dawkins, if Christians are wrong, they lose nothing. Oh, we lose nothing if we're wrong. While Dawkins, on the other hand, if he's wrong, he stands to lose everything. Everything. So that just means a bet on God means that we have everything to win and nothing to lose. I like those odds. So I started moving my chips a little bit at that point. That's a really solid argument. And even if we haven't had that specific thought, right? If that logic hasn't like percolated to the surface and we say, that's my reasoning, it's in there. You're based on logic. You have this God-given ability to reason. And because that is in you, you have this intuition. That logical truth is hiding deep in all of us, and it gives us this instinct that there is something supernatural. And we all know it. It's why we've been chasing it down throughout all of history. And C.S. Lewis, we've talked about this before, it is one of my favorite things, another wonderful analogy here. C.S. Lewis picks up that instinct, and he describes it this way. He says, creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists, right? A baby feels hunger. Well, there is such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there is such a thing as water. Right? They're always met. So if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, then the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Okay. That's fair. We know that feeling. And here's what I love, all right? Even the most ardent science says atheists like Stephen Hawking, right, who has railed against it and said it's just nonsense, he still has to admit that it is an instinctual thought that we have. He said it would be very difficult to explain why the universe should have begun in just this way, except as the act of a God who intended to create beings like us. And then he goes on to try and do that. So it's very difficult to explain why things are going this way without God, but let's try. Why don't we stop for a second and see if maybe it makes more sense than we're saying? So as I'm looking for a reasonable origin story, I'm starting to wonder, why aren't we spending more time considering that supernatural instinct that we all do have? We do share it. It seems like you actually have to be determined to constantly ignore it, right? And if you're after real truth, doesn't that mean that you can't ignore things? That means that you have to follow whatever makes the most sense, even if you don't want it to be true? Yes, it does. That is what you have to do. That's what we're supposed to be doing in science. And I'm not alone on this. You know who agrees with me this time? None other than Nobel Prize winning founder of quantum mechanics, Werner Heisenberg. Yay! We love Heisenberg, right? Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. That guy, Werner Heisenberg, agrees because listen to what he says. Nobel Prize winner. The first gulp from the glass of natural sciences will turn you into an atheist. But at the bottom of the glass, God is waiting for you. Mic drop. Come on. I mean, it'd be good if I said it, but with a Nobel Prize on your hip, I mean, it just, I don't know, lands different. I like that. I thought that was great. Listen, we don't get to be called reasonable if we don't have the humility to consider whatever it is that makes things make sense, even if it comes from an unwanted source, like a supernatural explanation for a lot of scientists. But we have to be bold. We have to be bold enough to tell the truth, no matter where it comes from, like, oh, another guy, Arno Penzias here, who won his Nobel Prize for his work explaining the Big Bang. And he also said, hey, the data that we have are exactly what I would have predicted had I nothing to go on but the five books of Moses, the Psalms, and the Bible as a whole. He's claiming that he could have discovered the background cosmic radiation that proved Big Bang through the Bible. That's how much he believes the truth is in there. That's incredible. And finally, at this point, I'm hearing some of these guys. I'm glad to see that we're warming up to the idea that, get this, guys, we don't know everything. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Out of the mouth of our best scientists, even, we don't know everything. And specifically, there's actually room in the science says camp for new and even godly places. Like Ivo Lab just said, like a month and a half ago, after publishing some crazy new findings from the James Webb telescope, he said, let go of your expectations and be ready to be surprised. This is a month and a half ago. A lot of you have come up and talked to me about this. This is absolutely crazy. Things are changing, guys. However, right there, okay, before I started getting, you know, pumped in my history, finding these kind of guys, and I thought maybe it's time for me to make the shift, right? I'm going to leave the science says camp for the God says. However, stop right there. Christians, we have some explaining to do. We certainly do in our own worldview, because a lot of us, like Congressman Paul Brown, say things like this that are a little difficult. They say evolution and the Big Bang Theory are lies straight from the pit of hell. Come on, guy. You know, that's rough. That feels a lot like the same unreasonable overstating of Dawkins. We don't want to do that. We're supposed to be known by our what? Love. Right? Is that what you heard there? I didn't. That is anger. And anger is the hallmark of a weak worldview held by people who are afraid that they might actually be wrong. And that is not us. That is not us. We know it. That's faith. We're building that. And Christians should know by now that automatic animosity never, ever leads to constructive conclusions. You don't build good things out of that. Because their history has shown that over and over again. As Christians, we should be embarrassed by that. We have not done well. That behavior, as a matter of fact, that animosity is what kept me and is keeping millions of others away from the Christian camp. It is our job to stop that. Gentleness, kindness, goodness, invitation, love. But consider Giordano Bruno. Giordano Bruno, it's my favorite name, I don't know. Heisenberg, Werner Heisenberg is fun to say, but Giordano Bruno, even more. Giordano Bruno, 16th century monk who challenged some core church beliefs, right, by saying that other planets were like the Earth and that stars were actually other suns, you know, in that way. And because the church didn't like it, they couldn't fit that science into their interpretation of a Christian worldview, they just went ahead and imprisoned him as a heretic. It solved. How did that solve anything? Like, it's just, we just shut it down. That's no good. And so he has a trial, and at his trial, Bruno defended himself by saying his science didn't disprove God. He's not trying to come against God. It's quite the opposite. He was saying makes him more incredible. He's even more magnificent than we realize. We got to make room for that. And he told him, your God is just too small. That's what it is. God's bigger than that. He contains science as well. So they burned him. Come on. Come on, Christians. That's not the way we're looking for truth. We're not fighting truth. And 10 years later, Galileo proved him right. We should feel a little bit embarrassed about that. So I'm struggling at that point again. Now, which camp am I belonging to? Who am I hitching my buggy to? What's going on here? The Science Says crew wasn't leaving room for God, in spite of our instincts that we knew that we felt, but the God Says gang wasn't leaving room for science in spite of all the logic and the discoveries. So no matter who I talked to, no matter where I turned, poor old Noah was stuck. Was there anybody to turn to for answers on origin where truth was actually a higher priority than protecting their own wishful thinking? It is hard to find down here. It really is. I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm just saying we get defensive of that stuff. But then I realized right then that being true, if there was an answer that was outside of nature, then isn't that where I ought to be looking? What am I doing down here? What was I doing talking to everybody inside the same book, right? Inside the same book to try and understand if we had an author. I'm asking all of the other guys, hey, do you know somebody wrote this book? How would they know? That's foolish. Because we've talked about this before. Romeo and Juliet can know nothing about Shakespeare unless Shakespeare writes it into their story. It's not up to them, right? And if we're inside that book, then we have to find a way to talk to the author. So that is who I should be wrestling with. I should be going after the author. And luckily, since Christians claimed that the author of our universe did actually do exactly that, that he did reveal himself through the Bible and Jesus, and he wrote himself into the story here and told us about himself, that meant I could connect directly to the supernatural source and check him out. I could see if what he wrote about me actually worked if I were to plug it in into my worldview and then just let it play out. And long story short, I'm a pastor. Okay? It was that good. That's what I'm saying. It's that good. His word and his son are the only things that I've ever encountered that account for both sides of the book in a reasonable way that explains this chaos in a coherent and consistent way. The natural and the supernatural, guys, it accounts for all of it. It says it in there. And I kept pulling that thread and it kept paying off. Because his word and his son, I tell you, they praise scientific methods for extracting truth from God's creation. It's not something that we're supposed to be scared of and burning people up for. No. As a matter of fact, in Christianity, we call that natural revelation. It's a whole deal. Check it out. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen being understood from what has been made. That's nature, guys. That's down here, so that people are without excuse. He says, you're welcome. I put it there. There it is, right there. There's your answers. You can take answers from the natural world, and science does that. But, however, they also acknowledge the limitations of nature. Just realize that we can't get everything there. So, and then we have a need for Scripture's supernatural supplement to our natural knowledge. And we call that special revelation. And it gives us the rest of the picture. This is the part that's missing if you're just in a science says alone situation. For now, we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. That's it. We know that we see in part, guys. We are missing so much of the picture, and we all know it. That's why we have that instinct. So we're looking for it. And if you go to him, he's the only guy who's outside of here who can tell you what happens on that side. And so as for my origin now, turning to like, where did I come from? Where are we from? Who am I? I'll tell you what, God knew, since he created us, God knew how quick we'd reach the part of the question where science didn't say, right? And we needed some help. So guess what? On page one, he made it abundantly clear that our story was indeed supernatural, saying, let us on the other side, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Boom, and put it in here. So you betcha that makes sense. It only makes sense that while we're living down here, we have an instinctual itch for up there all the time, because we are told that we're his supernatural kids and we are meant to live in an out of this world home. But whatever you do, don't do what I did. Don't take my word for it. Ask him yourself. That's why you have that word. And if you ask him, you know, you'll see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. I want you to read that with me, all right? Let's take it from the top. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. 100% true. And I'm sure you're asking, as I did at this point, though, getting the answer. One more thing, exactly how do we know that? How can we know that? Well, I'll tell you what, that is going to take answering the meaning of life. And we're out of time, so we're going to have to do that next week. Okay? Next week, we're taking on the meaning of life, so tell your friends. But until then, let's pray. Let's do pray. Father God, we love you for bringing us into this world, and thank you for showing us what lies beyond this place. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us to the real answers behind our true story that makes sense of all this life's chaos and confusion. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for revealing our supernatural origin through the direct connection in our real relationship with you. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.